mic is there. Sorry.
Thank you very much, Hope. So we are meeting this morning to hear a Section 357 objection in relation to a submission that was filed by the Taka Beach Residents Society Incorporated with respect to the district plan. That submission was struck out by the chair of the panel, and this is an appeal against that strikeout. So I'll now call for appearances. Mr. Todd, I assume you're appearing for...
Please, Commissioner, I appear with Mr. Grayson in my office for the submitter.
Submitter, thank you.
Objector, sorry.
Objector. I know it's a bit confusing to get the terminology. I was going to say appellant, but that's not quite right. And I don't think we've got anyone here this morning.
Oh, sorry, I should introduce Mr. Hodson, who's the president of the Taka Beach Residents Association.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Hodson. So, Mr. Todd, I just checked with Ms. Beer as to whether the counsel for the Middletons who originally filed the strikeout is appearing this morning, so we are trying to find it.
Commissioner, I've just sent a message with Jane McDonald.
Right, so she'll get back to you. Okay. So at the moment, we don't have anyone appearing. So I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
I'll prepare some written submissions, Commissioner, together with a timeline, which you may find helpful.
Yes,
there's just one amendment to the timeline in the last line. The date should be the 11th of June rather than the 7th of June.
Thank you.
These submissions are made on behalf of the Taka Beach Residents Society Incorporated in support of its objection against the decision of the chair of the hearings panel to strike out the society's submission on the Queenstown Lakes proposed district plan. In fact, it's the submission on stage two of that plan. The society submits on the basis of its submissions filed on 3rd July 2018 in opposition to the application by the Middleton Family Trust to strike out its submission, and the further evidence filed in support of this objection that the Society's submission was valid under the Act and the Chair was wrong in law to strike out the submission. The evidence in support of this objection is in the form of affidavits from Sir Brian Hutchins, Michelle Runt, Vicky Onions, Will Hodson, Ben Farrell and Robin Martin. All of these individuals were members of the unincorporated Taka Beach Residents Group at the time the submission was filed and are now members of the society. That's other than Mr. Martin, who has prepared the affidavit. He was a member and has prepared the affidavit that you requested as to the incorporated,
as to the members.
And of course, you've requested that Mr. Hodson and Mr. Farrell be present today and they're both here.
Yes, thank you.
Under Section 350, subsection 2 of Section 357 of the Act, a person whose submission to an authority is struck out under Section 41D has a right of objection to the authority. The provisions of the Act relating to what constitutes a person for the purposes of filing a submission are set out in the Society's submissions opposing the Middleton's application to strike out the Society's submission and the subsequent decision of the Chair. Under Section 2, a person includes the Crown, a corporation sole, and also a body of persons, whether corporate or unincorporate. Relevantly, in order to be an unincorporated body of persons under Section 2 of the Act, there must be two or more persons who have a similar or related purpose in relation to some functional proceeding under the Act and who have agreed to move forward in concert. The society in its submission referred to an email of Mr. Hodson who informed the group's counsel that Ms. Vicky Onions, referred to by Mr. Hodson as Vicky Summer, had joined as a member of the group amongst others not named in the email. The chair in his decision determined this was insufficient evidence that there was in fact a group formed at the time the submission was filed. He notes that the society's submission was lodged at 4:22 p.m. on the 17th of May prior to the above email correspondence, which was at 8:36 p.m. on the 17th. The Society submits the affidavits filed in support of this objection, provides the basis of evidence the Chair considered was insufficient at the time he determined the strikeout. The affidavits confirm that during a meeting between Mr. Hodgson and planners, Mr. John Evans and Mr. Ben Farrell, Mr. Farrell spoke to Brian Hutchins, who confirmed that he and his wife Penny wished to be part of this group. A Mr. Hodgson then had subsequent conversations with Ms. Onions and Ms. Rudd, who both confirmed their desire to join the group. The affidavit evidence confirms these conversations were prior to the filing of the submission. It also confirms the individuals being residents of Tucker Beach and opposing or having concerns about the Middleton's proposal had a similar or related purpose under the Act, and by agreeing to file a submission had agreed to move forward in concert. Now, the timing in relation to all of those events is set out in the timeline which yes. we produced to you. And just referring to that, the submission was filed at 4:22pm on the 17th of May 2018. And that timeline of events establishes that before that time, the conversations which I've just referred to, in the, and those were all referred to in the affidavits.
Yes, thank you. I was going to ask Mr. Hodgson to do exactly this, actually, to take me through it, so perhaps he could do that when you finish your submissions.
Section 2A of the Act provides, and I've just set out there what the Act states, is that, that section states, and then turning to paragraph 13, although the Chair found the Society's submission was invalid on the basis there was no evidence that it constituted a person under the Act, he went on to state that he had also no evidence that the Society was a successor to the unincorporated group. The Society submits the Commissioner does have such evidence before her in the form of the application to form the Society as appended to Mr. Hodgson's affidavit and the Register of Members appended to the affidavit of Mr. Martin. These documents show that all the individuals who joined the unincorporated group on the 17th of May are now members of the Society. On this basis, the Society submits the group as a successor as it comprised of substantially the same members as the unincorporated group. As previously submitted to the Chair, the Society submits it does not matter that the group has substantially increased in size and taken in new members since the submission was filed in order for it to become a successor to the original group. In conclusion, the Society submits that given the evidence before the Commission, particularly in light of the further evidence filed in support of the objection, that the unincorporated Tucker Beach Residents Group at the time of filing the submission constituted a person under the Act as it comprised a group of people with similar related purpose agreed to move in concert, and the Society is a successor to an unincorporated group as it composed of substantially the same members, albeit more. For these reasons, the Society submits it as a valid submission to the PDP, and the decision of the Chair to strike out the submission should be overturned. Now, the consequence of I haven't referred to in those written submissions the consequence of the decision.
Yes.
And that, just by way of background, is that if it is shown that the if it is held that the objection be rejected, then the consequence of that is that the group is still established.
Yes.
And would simply, and I use that term loosely, would have to show that it had an interest greater than the public at large in relation to any appeal that might be subsequently filed in respect of the decisions of the hearings commissioners on the Middleton's submission. And it's inevitable in my submission to you that there will be an appeal, whichever way the decision goes in respect of the commissioner's decision on the original submission by the Middletons.
Right. So, Mr. Todd, in terms of the... So this was a submission against stage two of the plan.
Correct.
From the Register of Members, there's a large number of residents that have joined the group. Did any of those residents file individual submissions?
Mr. Hodgson did.
And that's been accepted and heard?
Correct.
Yes. But no one else. Was that a timing? It's sort of
well,
struck me as unusual, but there's so many people.
Well, as you'll appreciate, one of the significant flaws of the plan change process is there is no public notification of submissions.
Yes.
Other than
yes.
What the council is required to do is simply notify that they have received submissions.
Yes.
And that a summary is available if you go to their website. So there's none of the normal requirements for example, to put up poles on a site, to put a notice at the site that what has been proposed. And in this particular case, the residents simply weren't aware of it. Mr. Hodgson was aware of it through his company.
Right.
But generally, the residents were not aware of it at all until it was brought to their attention by Mr. Hodgson.
What happened in effect was that the Mr. and Mrs. Middleton made a submission in respect of the district plan applying for their land to be
rezoned
in a completely different way from what had been proposed.
Oh yes, so the rezoning is in two stages. The first stage seeks part of the property, part of their property, to be rezoned low density residential. To approximately 450 lots. This is right at the end of Tucker Beach Road.
Right. Okay.
And the Middleton family own Queenstown Hill Station.
Yes.
The second stage, and the council declined, the council's hearing commissioners declined that submission, and the Middletons have appealed.
Okay. So the significance of the Tucker Beach residence submission is in opposition to the...
No, this is in relation to stage two.
Very complicated.
The submission seeks for another part of the property to be rezoned rural lifestyle.
Okay.
And Mr. Gresson reminds me, rural lifestyle and residential precinct. So it's a significant change to the current situation, which is, in terms of the operative district plan, rural general, with a significant part of the property being within the outstanding natural landscape Waikato Basin.
Mm-hmm.
And in the operative district plan, the proposed district plan, again, it is to be rezoned rural. Again, with a significant part of it to be within the outstanding natural landscape, Waikato Basin.
So other than Mr. Hodgson, no one was aware of the submission that was made in respect of stage two.
And so Mr. Hodgson made them aware
by this
process.
Okay.
And the rationale with Ms. Onions is that she had recently purchased part of Mr. Hodgson's company's land. So he was bringing it to her attention.
Okay. And the time frame then, it seems that the key date here is the 17th of May, so submissions were due in...
18th of May.
18th of May. So it was really up against it in terms of the decision
the time.
Yeah. I know that's really helpful, thank you. I just sort of get a feel for it's difficult, isn't it, with the way that, as you say, the planning process works. If an individual landowner then makes a submission to have a substantial part of land rezoned, something completely different to what was originally proposed, and it's that whole notification process.
There's no requirement for the council to notify people who might be directly affected by that. Given that, again, in terms of context, you'll appreciate that Tucker Beach Road is a dead-end road.
Yes.
And there is the Tucker Beach Reserve, which immediately adjoins Queenstown Hill Station.
Thank you, Mr. Todd. That's been really helpful. So,
now, I'm not intending to give any formal evidence, but as you requested, Mr. Farrell and Mr. Hodgson are available for questions in terms of their affidavits.
Oh, great, thank you. Mr. Hodgson, I wouldn't mind asking you a few questions. And actually, I was going to ask for this timeline, so that's really helpful. So would you be able to just talk me through this and the background from your perspective?
Certainly, Commissioner. My name's Will Hodgson, and I'm the chair of the Tucker Beach Resident Society, as it is now. I can confirm what happened and what was detailed in my affidavit that I put in go through it. On the 17th of May, at possibly 2:30 in the afternoon, I did have a meeting with Ben Powell and John Evans in their office. And this was predominantly, I wanted to have that because I wanted to discuss with them adverse effects on what we're talking about, this stage two of the proposed Middleton's development, and how the resident, or how myself, could oppose that, and also to let the residents have a voice, because as Graham's alluded to, none of them really knew what was going on. So that was at 2:30. Now, at that meeting, there was Ben Farrell was present. He's a planner in the office as well.
Yes.
I had asked Ben what I thought was the best way to approach this and oppose this submission, and he thought at the time the best way was to form a group, which I agreed with him because I'd had earlier discussions with various members, and they were concerned about, you know, what was being proposed. So Ben then gave Brian Hutchins a call,
yes.
And that was around 3 o'clock, and asked him what, you know, told him what was happening, and I guess asked him if he'd like to be a member, and he said that he would, and his wife Penny would like to be one as well.
So was that the first time Mr. Hutchins knew of, as far as you're concerned?
As far as I'm aware, yeah. It was, yes. And then from that, we had a John Evans put on speakerphone, mm-hmm. and we gave Graham a call, Graham Todd a call,
yes.
and informed him of what we were thinking, and could he file a submission on my behalf to oppose the Middleton submission. Then, following that, straight after I had that meeting with John Evans and Ben Farrell, it was a short walk from his office in Shotover Street round to Vicky Onion's office, who's on the corner of St. Rees Street there on the first floor at her Coffee Time building, where I went in and saw her at between 3:30 and 4 o'clock and asked her, informed her that I'd had this meeting with John Evans and Ben Farrell, and that we were seeking to form a Tucker Beach residence group, and would she like to be part of it? And she said straight away, yes, she would, and she would certainly like to oppose it and be part of the group. And that was that meeting. As soon as that meeting finished with her, I rang my wife, Michelle Rudd, on the phone, on my cell phone, and I explained to her that I'd had the meeting and, you know, what had happened, and she said that, yes, she would like to be a member of the residence group as well, which I thought was great. I have with me a copy of my phone records with Michelle, if you'd like to see that. It shows from Vodafone clearly that I called her at 4:05.
And Michelle has put in an affidavit there
as well,
so that will back with her. Thank you.
And then from that, I essentially went home and was starting to make phone calls, and I think then that evening social media went on social media, and there was a lot of interest in what was going on, because you know, the people of Taka Beach didn't really know what was happening, and there was a, then it seemed to me there was a lot of people that were certainly interested in being part of the, you know, opposing the Middleton's Stage 2 development.
So the submission was filed at 4:22 that afternoon. So had that been prepared in advance?
Yes, I should explain that I'm not as efficient as that looks, actually.
Yes, it looks
because the submission had obviously been prepared in the name of Mr. Hodgson's company, and it was that point we simply changed it to the, on the confirmation to the Taka Beach residents, unincorporated.
Makes sense. But you really had another day up your sleeve anyway. So, Mr. Hodgson, in terms of the, after that, then the forming registered of the incorporate registration of the incorporated society, which was the 11th of June, so that's nearly 2 months later. So, can you just take me through the period between the 17th of May and the formation of the, or the registration of the incorporated society? So, up until that time, it was an unincorporated group.
That's right, it was. And we, before that time, on social media, we had, there were quite a few interested residents.
Yes.
And we, to make it, from being the Taka Beach residents, we got together to essentially form the Taka Beach Resident Society. This was done at Ross and Madeline Healy's house, where we invited Taka Beach residents to come along. And it was at 5:30 p.m. on the 5th, of June. Now, at that meeting, we had to sort out who was going to be the chairman, the treasurer, the secretary, all that sort of thing. So we decided who they would be, and the group decided they'd like me to be the chair, Rob Martin to be the secretary, the treasurer is Madeline Healy. And we had a committee as well, the committee including Doug Reed, Simon Price, and Judith Sheehan at that time. And so we had 15 members that were registered at that time. And then from that meeting that evening, we went along and caught up with Graham Todd's office with Jessica Weinberg to officially form the Taka Beach Residents Society Incorporated.
And when was the application? So the application, which is attached to your affidavit.
Yes.
So that's dated the 5th of June. So was that all of the members who were at that meeting, the formation members, so to speak? It needs to be signed, I think, by 15 people, which it has been.
Yes, the 15 that signed it were present at that meeting we had.
Right.
There was subsequently more people there, but we just needed 15 to form the society.
Makes sense. So I guess, one of the things that, and Mr. Todd, you might, it's really a question for you, but of the 15 members who signed, only Mr. Hodgson has in common with the members who were consulted prior to the submission being filed.
Yes, but you only have to have 15 members to,
yes.
You only have to have 15 persons to apply to be incorporated.
Yes.
That doesn't necessarily mean that those that were in concert at the time have to be part of the application as long as they're
part of the group. That was my question. So your submission is that they don't, as long as they form part. And they, those people are members,
correct.
I see, from the members register.
The requirement for registering as incorporated society is to have 15 persons sign the application.
Yes.
But the important thing is that if you then look at who are members of the society, which is the affidavit,
yes.
Of those people are included.
Yes, it's quite a long list, so...
You'll see about halfway down reference to Brian Hutchins, Penny Hutchins.
Yes.
And then further on down, you will see reference to Ms. Rudd.
Yes.
And, of course, Mr. Hodgson is there as well.
You've seen Miss Onions. Yes, did everyone join on the 5th of June? So only these people were essentially the 15 who signed up, or did people join? Some people join later.
That's right. There were people that joined later.
Yes.
I guess for all intents and purposes, we just needed 15 people, as Graham mentioned,
yes.
on that evening to register the society. That's not
yes.
to say that the ones that originally I spoke to
yes.
Are members of the Tucker Beach Society, Resident Society.
So they became members at a later date, or
at the same time, but some of them
okay.
weren't able to attend that meeting we had that evening.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's been very helpful. Well, actually, I have no further questions, Mr. Potter. Do you have anything that you... I'll just have a look at Ms. Beer's note. Okay, so as mentioned at the start, Ms. Beer has been in contact with Jane McDonald, who is acting for the Middletons. Unfortunately, they weren't advised that this hearing was taking place, so that's why they're not present today. Ms. McDonald has requested that the hearing be adjourned and that she be given the opportunity to give a written response to your submissions, Mr. Todd, and that she could submit to your submissions by next Friday, the 7th of December.
Well, in that, I'm not sure in an objection situation that other parties are to be heard.
Are to be heard. That was one of my questions as well. Is it, would that normally... I mean,
that's my understanding.
Often it would be... if counsel had objected to the... they would often appear at the hearing
yes.
anyway.
Well, they would certainly seek leave to appear.
Yes. Yes, there's been... but I suppose she didn't get the opportunity to seek leave to appear because she wasn't notified.
Well, it's a question. I presume what she's putting there is an application to seek leave to appear and have it adjourned.
Yes, that's true.
The first step's missing.
Yes.
My submission to you, this is a matter that really is a situation between the objector and the counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You have been, in terms of the objection, you have been appointed by the counsel to hear that submission.
Yes.
And hear the objection, and there isn't any requirement that I can see to even for the other party to be made aware of it.
I mean, this is a situation that really is determined on its facts.
Correct.
At the end of the day, it's
excuse me, with regard to facts, my wife Michelle Rudd, who's sitting here, she I meant to say she was actually present at a meeting, but there were 15 people that signed, and there wasn't any space for her to sign as the original 15, but she was present. At the meeting.
And were there other people present other than the 15 who signed as well? So
yes.
Just for your information, Madam Commissioner, there is no requirement that the application be filed at the meeting. Often what happens is there is a resolution passed to form the society, and 15 persons, then the documents are prepared, and 15 persons then sign. But there is no legal requirement for there to be 15 people present at a meeting to sign the application.
Yes, no, I agree with that. Thank you. Yeah. It's just handy sometimes if they are, because it can all get done and dusted, but that's absolutely right. So the resolution was passed effectively, and then the signatures were collected.
That's either right. On the night.
Yeah. So just getting back into the request. So, Mr. Todd, your submission is that there is no requirement for the other party to be notified of this hearing, or to and that they would need to seek leave to be heard. All right. Well, I think at this stage I will adjourn the hearing, and I'll just consider this point, and I'll advise if there's going to be I'll decide on that point, and then decide if I'm going to give leave for Ms. McDonald to make submissions, or whether, in actual fact, I don't think that that's going to really add to the process. It is going to hold it up by another probably week at least, if that does happen. And Mr. Todd, from what I think, your submissions are not really substantially any different to what you submitted
the first time round.
It's really just the evidence that is...
we're filling the gaps that was identified in the decision.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Hodgson, is there something else you wanted to say?
Well, I've just been presented with our minutes of the meeting. Just wondered if you would like a copy of that.
Actually, that would be helpful. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Hearing's adjourned.
Thank you.